Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host, I'm Jen Coffin Daffer. Thank you so much for being here. I know this was last minute. I'm traveling, as you can see again, and I was trying to eke out what hour of time could I have for you all. And so I appreciate y'all coming on, especially last minute notice. We're again still discussing Nancy Guthrie, who was kidnapped mercilessly on February 1st. And there has been so much breaking news, I have to tell you, but we're going to get to the meat of it. There's actually so much news, I'm going to have to do it in different segments. We're going to keep the segment short, concise, to the point, facts only, because I know that's what you want to hear. Now, you all know how leery I am about sources, and this is exactly why. This last 2 days about is the perfect example. And that is, sources mean they have some information from someone who has information, from maybe someone else who has information. The only people who have the information about this case are Sheriff Nanos, the hierarchy of the FBI at the Phoenix office, Kash Patel has been briefed, and then those 24 folks that are on that task force that are actually working this case, at least in full-time or in part-time. So it's very limited. But what happens is those people might tell a buddy, they could tell somebody retired, they could mention something to somebody else, and then that person ends up contacting the media for reasons I can't explain. You know, I always want to look at why in the world would anyone involved in law enforcement want to leak specific details? It's the job of the reporter, obviously. If they have the information, they got the information and they're going to want to tell it. So anyway, all these stories are out here. It's unbelievable. My source said this. My source said this. Source information says this. And now what's interesting is because there's all these apparently different sources, the information is all different. But I'm going to do a separate show on the different source information and who is saying what. And you guys can sort it out what you think. But what we're going to talk about today is going absolutely directly and straight to the source. I'm going to, without further ado, get this up on the stage. So essentially, there were, again, to go over it, there were ransom notes that went out at the very beginning of the case. In fact, right after Nancy Guthrie was kidnapped, about 24 hours later, two notes went to the local media outlets there in Tucson, which I find very interesting to me. It shows that whoever is behind this, whoever's involved in this, that shows me that they are very familiar with the Tucson area, you know, the actual, either the mopes that did this or the people pulling the strings. Whoever sent those notes, let me be critically clear, they are connected. Now, could there be people well above these mopes that are actually pulling the strings? I still strongly think we need to consider that. But no matter what, as I've said for 3.5 weeks now, this is, or months, this is a kidnap for ransom. This is a kidnap for ransom that went horribly wrong. But let me get down and dirty on what we have and what I'm going with. And it's not source information from anyone. Again, these reporters and writers and so forth, I think have, you know, they are doing their job. But I got to go straight to the source. So I'm going to bring up somebody who, if you haven't seen it already, you're going to want to watch this. I posted it on Twitter. STS had it. I did two shows that were about 4 to 5 hours long between them. It was a long, long day and night. I also posted it on Break the Case. I hope you can watch those segments. They're with the first segment is on STS and is posted again on Break the Case. I dual streamed that. And that has Howard Bloom, myself, and Jason Pack. And I love Jason Pack. He's a Knoxville, Tennessee agent. He now is, he's got another job, but great guy. He's so funny. He's so down to earth. I really like him. His specific area of expertise that he did in the Bureau was missing children. And again, not to digress, because I want to get to the point as people kind of start rolling in, but the Bureau is divided. So as you listen to different FBI pundits, it's so funny that word pundit. I can never decide whether that's derogatory or not, but retired or former FBI, couple things to look at. One, are they retired or are they ex and former? And I don't mean by what the network says, because the network calls all of us ex. Most networks do. It's so funny. We can never be ex-Marines and we can never be ex-FBI unless we didn't retire, I suppose. So take a look at that, because you can see the breadth of somebody's experience. Did they make it the whole way? Do they have 28 years experience, or do they have 7, 8 years experience, or 5 or 10, whatever it might be? Just something for you guys to look at as you're deciding what experience they have. The other thing is, what is their background? I'm really excited. I'm going to reach out to Jason, and I want to do a show about Sebastian Rogers, actually, with Jason, because that's his neck of the woods, and also because that's what he primarily worked. I worked in resident agencies for about, let's see, for 15 years, longer than that. I guess 28 years in the FBI. I have to work it backwards. The only time I didn't was my 9 years in Houston. So about 15 years, or however that math is, it's a lot. That's what I worked. RAs, resident agencies, where you're in charge of everything that happens. That's violent crime, white collar crime, counterterrorism, whatever happens in your jurisdiction. But obviously, a lot of people end up with more cases than others in a certain area based on where you work regionally, because that's the high crime in your area. So I just wanted to say that Jason was on there. We were all on there. If you want to watch the STS, it's probably 2 hours long, but I think it was a really, really good show. I really like how Joel, I love the guests he gets, first of all, and I think he does a great job interviewing. After that, I was on with Daniel, Drunk Turkey, and he was really, really, he's always good, but that's a different kind of show. To me, when Daniel and I get on, it's literally like listening to two cops or two FBI agents in a squad area, where we're picking apart every detail, every factual clue that exists out there, and we're breaking that down. And I would say lately, probably 75% of the time, we don't even see eye to eye, but you get to see both of our vantage points. And I will tell you, he has swept me over on whether the same shoes were worn and whether it's more likely the same day as opposed to the 11th. A premise that I had always thought until the 11th came up. And I tell you that the big thing that had changed my mind was the attire that he wore. And now, after Steve and Daniel, Steve is a person who works with Daniel on different parts of different cases, analyzing video. I think those shoes are the same. But again, I diverge, I digress, but I just wanted to talk to you about those two shows, because I spent a lot of time talking about this case, about the Nancy Guthrie case, on both of those shows. So you may want to check one or both out, depending on what style you like, because they're two very different styles. And we discussed the information and the evidence differently. All right, without further ado, we're going to hone in and get down and dirty on the second ransom note. I'm going to play for you what a former reporter for the Tucson outlet that received one of the letters, I'm going to play for you. We're going to go through it slowly, and we're going to talk about what she has to say. It's only about a minute or so long, but we're going to go through step by step. So I'm going to play it all through once, and then we're going to go through and dissect what she has to say, what it means to the investigation. What is this all about? We have all been dying to know from minute one what was in the ransom notes. Well, this isn't from a source. She is the source. And I think likely, to be honest with you, I think she could have been somebody's source for a long time. Not that it was anybody in law enforcement. There are some people out there that certainly, I think, are former law enforcement that are talking as sources. And, you know, I tell you, anyway, that's a show for another time. Here we go. I'm going to bring her up and we'll talk on the other side.
About the second Nancy Guthrie ransom notes, the media confirming that it said...
Start from the beginning.
Hi, guys. You are probably seeing some reports surfacing this afternoon about the second Nancy Guthrie ransom notes. Some media confirming that it said Nancy died and that she was buried in nature. I'm Brianna Whitney, Crime Junkie's breaking news reporter, and I have spent months and months covering the Nancy Guthrie case, boots on the ground. And in my former role, before I came to Crime Junkie, I was made aware of what these ransom notes said as I was reporting on the case. I've seen them with my own eyes, so I want to actually provide more context as to what that second note said. The way that this note was written, it's written as we, like we didn't know this, as if it was some sort of team or whoever was involved in this. It said, we did not fully grasp the seriousness of her physical condition. It went on to say that they never intended to hurt her during all of this. They continued and said she perished shortly after she was taken. They believe that it was heart-related. And then what the reports were confirming earlier today, that she was buried with nature. And maybe the most important part of the second ransom note, it said, nothing you could have done could have changed the outcome. We are truly sorry. So that's what I know from my reporting on this case. And that second note came in the first week of the investigation. Now, the FBI never came out and confirmed whether or not these ransom notes are legit. We knew that they were investigating them, but months have gone by. They never confirmed more. But we do know that Savannah Guthrie said she believes that these two notes are real. We will keep you up to date on the name.
Okay, I see a lot of messages in chat.
Hey guys, you are probably seeing some report
that the volume is too low. I have it up as high as I can go. But I agree it's soft. I think it's how she recorded it was really soft. But we've got subtitles up here so you can listen and watch what she has to say. But again, we're going to break it down really, really slowly now because I think it's really important. Again, she read the notes. She was with... She read the notes. She knows what's in them. And listen, I pay close attention to TMZ too. I know a lot of people feel like it's tabloid, blah, blah, blah. I've talked about TMZ before. They literally have the largest reach when you look at their mainstream media, social media, everything they have added together when it comes to celebrity news. And Savannah was a celebrity and also breaking news on crime cases. So I've been on their show several times. I just love their fella that is their new hire. He's wonderful. He's done a lot of great interviews. His name's Jackson. And I really have enjoyed being on there. And I tell you, I've been on with Harvey as well. And they ask great questions, especially, I think I was on there most recently on Luigi Mangione. But nevertheless, all the sources, you can just flush, in my opinion, what you're reading about what sources said. And in fact, when I was on Howard Bloom, even he said, oh, well, she's got a lot more information than me. Of course she does, because she read the letters. So this is where with everything we do on this case, we're going to get down to facts. Now, this is facts and evidence, unless we just think she's lying. I'm going to tell you why I don't think she's lying. I'm going to get that out of the way first. First of all, I'm watching her. I'm looking at her. She's talking direct. She's not hedging. She's not confused. She's not stammering. She's definitely read this letter probably over and over, probably has a copy of it, probably read it before this even happened. When I mean before this, before she decided to report, to refresh her memory, because she's crystal clear in her messaging. Number two, she has moved away from the Tucson mainstream media. So she's not bound by any strings. She can say what she wants here. And she is. And she is not going to risk her credibility in her brand new job with a True Crime Junkie. I believe that's another podcast type situation. She is not going to risk that, her new social media job, and lie here. Because these letters are going to come out. This is not going to be something that can't be checked later. So this is what the kind of stuff I'm always deep diving for. I don't care what the sources say. And I'm sorry. I will let people know, obviously, especially on mainstream media, because they work a lot with sources. I will say, you know, specifically this came from a source. And I will report on it as long as I caveat that it came from a source. But this is where we want to be, everyone. We want to be with the people that have the knowledge. And she read the letter. So let's go through it point by point.
Surfacing this afternoon about the second Nancy Guthrie ransom note.
Okay, we're talking about the second Nancy Guthrie note. To be clear, that came in February 6th. She doesn't. I love this from Uncle Red. I got to put this up. And by the way, thank you, Kelly McLennan. I have not forgot about you. That's an inside situation. Let me see right up here. This was just cracked me up. Yes. I mean, obviously, there's some reporting that I've seen by certain networks that I see the lean. I see the slant. And, you know, we all take note of it. And, you know, they want to be able to have access to Sheriff Nanos. So, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer that they are going to make sure that it's slanted in the direction wanted. Because if not, they lose their honeypot. But she isn't beholden to that anymore. So let's go on. Yes, everybody's been talking about the notes. But again, my recommendation is just forget the sources. We don't care about the sources that could be who knows how many removed. Okay, here we go.
Some media confirming that it said Nancy died and that she was buried in nature. I'm Miranda Whitney.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Crime Junkie.
Okay, so let's talk about the first. Buried in nature. We have talked ad nauseum a little bit about this because we are now about 2 days into getting this information. And for some of the source leakage, that's what was leaked, right? Buried in nature. Well, when you look at that, why would they write buried in nature? I'm still going with the possibility that this is not a native speaker of English, that it's something that has been translated from one of the Romance languages, Italian, French, Spanish, that's a possibility that I think really needs to be considered. The second possibility is when you look at this, it's how you would tell your relative that somebody in your family had died and you're trying to soften it and say, they're buried in nature, right? You don't want to say, we threw them in the dirt. Now, don't get me wrong here. I don't at all believe Nancy Guthrie had some sort of Christian burial in the ground. I think she was chucked in that desert, hidden in that brush. You know, statistics tell us, and I think this is really important to at least consider, statistically speaking, when a murder is committed, they are typically, not always, but typically are within 15 miles of where they were murdered. So something to think about that. That is, to me, the search grid that I would be most concentrating on. Now, that's tough, a 15-mile radius. That is a lot of land, but I'll get back to it. That is exactly why Madres Buscadoras, EcuSearch, Cajun Navy, Buscadores Corazones. That is why they want to search, and other groups need to be invited to search. But all that aside, buried in nature. I think all of us logically look at this and say, oh my God, this is so feminine. You know, this isn't some epiphany that y'all are saying, everybody is saying, yeah. So, you know, the talking heads, I don't know that that's some epiphany. To me, the bigger epiphany is one of two things. First of all, is this really a second language? And second of all, is this AI? From the very beginning, Harvey Levin has said multiple times that these notes are written with great, you know, very intelligently, intellectually educated. I really think it's going to end up coming from AI. And yes, the FBI already knows that. I mean, honestly, a teacher could run that through Grammarly and have it show whether this is AI or not, or one of the other programs. There's so many out there. And then there are actual experts, linguistic experts that have PhDs on this. So when we go to trial, as an example, you can't just say Grammarly said. I could never get on the stand and say, I know this person used AI because Grammarly or one of these other programs said. That isn't how it works. I would have to get a PhD scholar and have them get up on the stand. And if they believe that, then they would go up on the stand and describe the mechanics and the tools that they used so that they can say, in their expert professional opinion, doing this for a living, looking thousands of samples, why they believe this, a note like this, would be AI generated. So it goes well beyond. You can't have Grammarly come on. What happens if you have Grammarly come on? That's the other thing you could do, is subpoena them to come on and say this is AI. But then they would have to get into what their algorithm is, how they know AI versus not AI. How are they? What is their program that does that? So I just want to say this because I guarantee early on the Bureau has looked at, is this AI? And consulted with subject matter experts that know all about this to determine whether this is AI. And I think it's a big possibility. And that also might be why we have this flowery kind of language. So just a couple things to consider there. This could be a female AI. So something to consider there. All right, let's keep going.
He's a breaking news reporter, and I have spent months and months covering the Nancy Guthrie case.
And that's true. She not only saw the notes, everyone, but like us and many of the people that are on here, I know we've done something in the neighborhood of 137 shows, something around that, just on this. Before my channel, we were doing maybe one or two shows a month. That's it. You know, just busy and so forth. But I tell you, once I got on this Nancy Guthrie case, this means so much. And this is how I'm going to do the coverage in the future, is daily, 1 hour live from facts, from the heart, with passion, laying it out there for you all to consider. All right, here we go.
Boots on the ground. And in my former role, before I came to Crime Junkie, I was made aware of what these ransom notes said as I was reporting on the case. I've seen them with my own eyes.
She has seen them with her own eyes. Not only was she made aware of, she was made aware with them, of them and saw them in their own eyes.
I want to actually provide more context as to what that second note said. The way that this note was written, it's written as we, like we didn't know.
This is critical. We have been, we, all of us, right, have really been, and I know it's hard to hear, but we've got closed caption up here so you can read it. I've have it up as loud as it could go, but she just spoke softly when she did this, and I guess because this is how it came out. So nevertheless, when you look at this, she says, we, that note said, we, now you could, we could go to the avenue that it said, we, because, they intended to do that. They want to take the magnifying glass off that it's just I think it is we for multiple reasons. I think it's we because I just don't think this is an operation you do solo. I truly think this is an operation where somebody else likely had their hand in it. I think Porch Guy is a mope. I don't think Porch Guy was in charge of these letters. I don't. I think there is a we component to this. So that's been my opinion for months now. It continues to be my opinion that Porch Guy wasn't on his own and on his own did this, but rather was part of a group that wanted this ransom. Again, I'm not coming off of that because that's what the facts continue to show. And that's what this note shows. Kidnap for ransom, Occam's razor.
As if it was some sort of team or whoever was involved in this. It said, we did not fully grasp the seriousness of her physical condition.
Okay, this is huge. We did not grasp the serious of her physical condition. Everyone, if this note is legitimate and law enforcement thinks it is, Savannah thinks it is, we know law enforcement thinks it is. They got up on stage and told us all about it. And they said that specifically there were things in the note that were said that make them believe they are real. So, and then they did a Cecil B. DeMille with the family getting up there with BAU writing these notes. There is no way law enforcement does this unless they believe them to be true. You notice they're not addressing all these other panderers, these extortionists that have sent out notes later. No, they are concentrating on the original notes and they think they are real. So again, I want to back this up just a little because this is so critical what she
involved in this. It said, we did not fully grasp the seriousness of her physical condition.
What does that tell us? This is not somebody intimately familiar with her. It is not somebody intimately familiar with Nancy that took her. If they were, they would have known there is a big problem here with her health condition. And this leads toward the wrench attack by proxy idea. There's two possibilities in my view where we're at right now. Wrench attack by proxy, these mopes getting, you know, the pointer, hey, Savannah Guthrie worth $45 million. And I say 45, she's 40, her husband's five, together over $45 million. Do they have cryptocurrency? I guarantee these crypto security companies know that. And they are being infiltrated. Please read about this. They are being infiltrated by individuals wanting to figure out who has cryptocurrency, and then they're being targeted. I've been talking about this for a long time, talked about how much money is involved in this type of scam, in this type of terrible attacks that are happening to people. And this would lead somebody to the possibility that the person, in other words, the person that targeted Nancy and acquired a mope like a Porch Guy to do this, didn't know everything about Nancy, didn't do their full-on homework. probably came to the attention likely because of the Today Show in Savannah and all of that, and the ease at which she could be targeted. Remember, somebody else was targeted exactly like we're talking about in the day before. That, when you look at statistics, it's just, you got to think about that. But the other possibility, and I want to drive this one home just as strongly as the wrench by proxy. And this is a situation, this happened in multiple cases that I had. And this is where you have an individual who knows of somebody, and they are either involved directly or indirectly with criminal elements that want to make the quick buck. And they put the finger. Listen, she's living there. Guess what? She lives with, or she's the mom of Savannah Guthrie. Savannah Guthrie's a multimillionaire. So this would be somebody like this, a guy who mows the lawns in this area. Well, actually, there's not much to mow. So let me rephrase, a gardener, an outdoorsman, a caretaker, somebody who went in some capacity and came to sort of loosely know of her. And then I'm going to tell you how it's happened in at least two cases I can think of right off the bat. And then they go and they talk to their girlfriend, and their girlfriend's brother is there, and he's in the criminal element, and he gets folks together to commit a crime. And they go get outfitted and they do their thing. They're not very sophisticated, but they've done other crime. They have criminal histories. They've done other crime. And that's how the seed is planted. Remember the other epiphany, and I know we're talking about the second note, but in the first note, now we know that it was addressed to Savannah, everyone. This should put now, and I know we did a whole series on, could they have targeted Nancy because of her very, very left-wing views? Could somebody on the right have targeted her? We looked at that as a possibility. Could Savannah have been targeted because of her interviews of the Epstein? I did a full shows on these. If you ever want to go back and look, if you know, for a factual standpoint, and see what you think. Could Annie, could Tommaso, could Cameron, could Annie's ex-husband? We literally dissected each and every one of these entities that are in and around her circle. We haven't been able to do, you know, or the folks that she was involved with in her religious group. They've been very quiet, which they should be. They're probably old school. They're like, we're not going to come out and talk about any of this. But what this should tell us is that by the time it got to the mope that took her, or mopes, by the time it got down to, listen, this is your target, they didn't have all the information they needed. If we're to believe what is said in this note. And at the end, I'm going to tie up to something we have to be careful of, I think, with these notes. But this note. But that's what this note is saying. And I think that that is important.
It went on to say that they never intended to hurt her.
Okay. They never intended to hurt her. Crystal clear here. If you abduct an 84-year-old woman, I don't care whether they have significant health issues or not, and most likely they are going to, because your heart's 84, your lungs are 84, you're 84 years old, your bones and everything. But I tell you, if you right now abducted my mom, she's on the floor like on her head doing dirty dogs and yoga stances and, you know, playing pickleball. So all 84-year-olds are not made alike, that's for sure. But typically speaking, there's going to be problems. And if they did any homework at all and watched her on the Today Show, if that's how this originated, you saw her bruised and absolutely, you could tell, paper thin skin. She was walking with a cane. And even though her mind was great, she was very vibrant, she was obviously was on blood thinners. And maybe they're not educated enough to know that either the people that pointed them in this direction and gave them the original intel. And then the Mopes never followed up. To me, the Mopes did what Mopes do, and that is to do the dirty work. And the people above, in whatever capacity, or the people on the side that just gave them the initial pointer that this is a perfect target, did not have the requisite information they needed for this to become a successful mission. Okay. In other words, nobody that closely knew her. Okay, here we go. And nobody guiding this mission that closely knew her. Nobody guiding the mission, because they would have said, you know, you're going to have to keep her, or unless they just wanted her dead. But of course, this is absolutely ridiculous to think that if you abduct somebody this age, that you're not going to hurt them. Oh, thank you, Kelly. Thank you for gifting that. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you. And thank you, Christy. She's been a member for 3 months. Thank you so much. Why would they wait this long to tell us this? So I'm going to get to that. We're going to continue through. We're almost done. And then I'm going to get to this important question.
Bring all of this. They continued and said she perished shortly after she was taken. They believe that it was heart related.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Okay. So again, back to the accident. I call complete BS on that, other than to say that they were so stupid, as Mopes are. They're so stupid that they didn't realize when they went in there what a significant situation this was with her. So let me rewind this again, because she says a couple really important things.
She perished shortly after she was taken. They believe that it was...
So perish shortly after. How many of us have been saying that on here, on my Twitter? And I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about you all. Many of us have believed for months that she did not make it long at all. I tell you how long, though, I think she made it. I think she made it and was alive through the first note. I really do. So the first note, which is really sad to think about, the first note came in about, it was the next day after the kidnapping. So she's kidnapped, you know, in the wee hours of the morning, 1, 2 o'clock, 2:30 gone, disconnected from the pacemaker app. So she, from 2:30. So the next day, the second is when that first note comes in. A lot of people think it was down the road. It wasn't. It was the next day, which completely falls into a kidnap by ransom. These notes come in within about 24 hours, 48 hours, outside 72 hours. But certainly it is so well within the realm of a kidnap for ransom, what we would expect to see. So they say it happened right away. I think it was after the first note. Second, which wouldn't have been long, a day or so later. They say heart-related. I found that very interesting. To me, this shows that they're watching everything. And now they're listening and they're like, what, you know, first of all, they're able to talk to her. And she's able to say, assuming she was still conscious, I've got heart issues. I would think she would have said that at the very beginning. So now they're coming to realize, oh my gosh, she has all these issues. They're watching it on the news. They're seeing, and then she dies. And these klutzes, vicious klutzes, greedy morons, finally are, oh my gosh, she's dying on us. It's terrible. And they think it's heart related. Okay, going on.
It's heart related. And then what the reports were confirming earlier today, that she was buried with nature.
We've talked about the buried in nature, how this could be a somebody that this isn't their first language. It's just so soft-selled. It could be something that AI created. You know, how do I write a ransom note that sounds like I'm sorry? Something like that. Okay, here we go.
And maybe the most important part of the second ransom note, it said, nothing you could have done could have changed the outcome.
Gosh, the significance of that. Nothing you could have done could have changed the outcome. This is literally something you write when you care about the person on the other end, when you don't want them to feel guilty. You know, when you don't want them to feel guilty, when you're saying, listen, we didn't want it to come out this way, but don't blame yourself. Don't blame yourself, Savannah. Just very, very interesting that you would, no kidnapper, real kidnapper, ruthless kidnapper would say this.
We are truly sorry. So that's what I know from my reporting on this case. And that second note came in.
Did you hear that part? That came quick. I want to get this part in because this has been in controversy with the source information. One source says this, one source says this. I've seen it three times now, three different scenarios. But listen to what she says, who read the note herself.
Could have changed the outcome. We are truly sorry. So that's what I know from my reporting on this case. And that second note came in the first week of the...
We are truly sorry. Okay? That was what she read on that note. We are truly sorry. So let me give my overall thoughts on this note. This note makes absolutely no sense. Unless this note was written by the kidnappers, and this happens in cases where they know they are going to get caught. They are going to get caught. And they are already setting up, this was an accident, I'm so sorry. Showing all this contrition. It's not your fault. We tried to, you know, let down Savannah. Blah, 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 blah. And so, right, they feel bad, but not so bad that they weren't willing to risk the life by kidnapping her. Not so bad that they aren't telling Savannah where she's at, or that, you know, not so bad that they're willing to come out and do right. Do justice, because they know they're going to get the death penalty. I am telling you, whoever is found guilty of this case, unless they work out a plea deal, which seems to happen all the time in all these cases, because the prosecution doesn't want to risk the record, unless that they're getting the death penalty if they go to trial on this. That's what's coming. They took an 84-year-old woman out of her bed and murdered her, because I don't care whether they beat her. I don't care whether they strangled her. There's no evidence of any of that. My point is, you don't have to do that to have somebody die. And by the way, if they never find Nancy, we'll never really know. We can't rely on these mopes that wrote this note. You know? So is this the panic that the hammer is coming and they're going to get caught? Or is this just completely contrived? Murder for ransom. The person they took died before they could get the ransom. They had no proof of life. They wrote this note via AI to mask how they really write, to mask the idiosyncrasies that the FBI would later be able to use with what we call known writing samples that shows different ways they write. Like for me, I use a lot of dots at the end of what I have to say, because what I'm meaning is I have so much more to say about it, but I'm going to end it here, just get the small point across, and then, you know, let everybody put their ending on it. That is an idiosyncrasy, personally, of my writing. You all know your idiosyncrasies. When you use certain words, do you use beautiful or do you use pretty? Do you use commas in the right place? Do you use commas in an odd place, but you always use them in that place? All that stuff that writing exemplars can help an expert to be able to get up on the stand to say. You would absolutely, absolutely use AI. I think this is the future, because it's the cover, it's covering up. Why would they wait this long to tell us? If you're talking about this particular reporter and source reporting that comes out, because law enforcement doesn't want this. Law enforcement does not want this. I guarantee, promise you this, that if I'm on that task force and I see people talking about sources saying this, and I see this young lady, which it's her job. So I give a lot of deference when it's somebody's job. They're doing their job well to inform the media. That's what they're supposed to be doing. But as a law enforcement officer, I am unhappy with all of this, to say the least. Because now, as I'm interviewing people, I'm getting information in, you know, people trying to say they know about what happened, and then they quote this letter. Now I don't know whether they really knew it or whether it's from what these reporters and what Brianna said, and then what the sources have sort of kind of been saying, and, you know, a little bit saying. And the reason the sources can't come out and talk like her, because they're hearing it second or third hand. So Brianna is telling us firsthand. And I'm telling you, I just walk in that squad area and I'd be pissed. If I'm the case agent, I'm mad. I'm mad. Can't do anything about it. And being on the other side now, and I've always been a strong First Amendment right. I mean, when they start taking away our rights, we're in big trouble. Especially the First Amendment rights. Even when I cannot stand what people are saying, as long as you don't harass, and as long as you don't intimidate, and as long as you don't break the law in that sort of way, we've got to, you know, respect First Amendment. And she is coming out and exercising her First Amendment, and we are learning a lot from it. But that's why we haven't seen that in terms of why law enforcement isn't going to come out, because there's nothing that this is helping us. In other words, what is being said here is the public can't help us or help law enforcement. I keep saying us because law enforcement too long. The public, they are going to come out only with information that they think the public can utilize, take, and help us. All right. I want to look back because I saw some comments flicking by. Let's see. I just want to see. So, okay, Chris M. Says that a lot of inaccurate things. Nobody knows if they're inaccurate or not. This is what she says. She saw the note. So unless somebody else has seen the note that's commenting, I don't care who you are. I've got to go to the source. This is a fact-based show. This isn't about speculation. So I think what she's saying is accurate in terms of what is on that piece of paper. Let's see. Sources. Yeah, so Uncle says it's unmitigated BS. Oh, believe me, I don't buy what they're selling in terms of, oh, they buried her. Oh, we're so sorry. I think that is all baloney for their own, for later. they're setting that up for later to help themselves later when they're caught, thinking they were going to get caught. Remember, this came out on the 6th. Okay, let's see. Some people believe, and listen, we always should keep our mind open to different premises. This premise comes in and says, listen, they're not connected to the abductors. The reason I think they're connected is because law enforcement believes they're connected. So that and Savannah Guthrie saying they're connected. So you put those together and watching what transpired, again, the behavioral analysis unit, the FBI getting involved, putting them on those couches, telling them to say this, they're reading, they literally read from a script that was also written to Silence of the Lambs. I hope you watch that episode because my classmate was in the Silence of the Lambs, a lot of inside knowledge regarding Silence of the Lambs. I hope you go back and watch that episode. So anyway, Kindness says Ellie has been a joke. Look, it's terrible to watch the mistakes that unfolded before all of our eyes. It is. It's terrible. And I don't know if it's recoverable regarding a prosecution, but it's recoverable regarding finding out who did this. I just don't know if it's recoverable in a court of law, some of these mistakes. Let me see. So a lot of people are saying, hey, what about the notes coming from people that aren't the kidnappers? We know there's a lot of notes out there that TMZ has received. And I'm going to tell you, there are other notes out there. There are other notes out there that certain people have received in media and social media that are from scammers, are from what I believe to be the second set with a Bitcoin address, saying they know where she is. And there's other people who've received these notes. TMZ has received the notes later that law enforcement believes is unaffiliated, but they believe the first two are affiliated. So that is the working premise based on what law enforcement says, what the FBI did, and what Savannah Guthrie said. Yeah, it's so true. So many 80. My mom doesn't take anything. She's one of those herbalists. I'm just talking about somebody. She's 80 years old. She's not quite 84. But she takes nothing. She's one of these people that, you know, you need to take tarragon, and I'm like this too. You need to take what's the one for well, anyway, it doesn't matter, for aches and pains. There's a lot of herbs and things you can take. And some people just don't do well with medicine. I can't take medicine except ibuprofen. So everybody's different. But I do agree with you, Uncle, that many people at that age are very dependent on medication. But you can't completely say everyone. But most are. And Nancy Guthrie was. And the point is that it would seem the kidnappers didn't know that. So why hasn't Savannah heard them in a long time? I'm not sure exactly, Patty, but if what you're saying is heard from them or heard about, listen, they knew about these notes when they made their decision not to pay the ransom. How this all happens with something like this happens is you literally sit down with the victims and you go over all the evidence. You go over the ransom notes, whether you think they're legitimate. You go over your investigation. You have to do that. That's the broadest stroke of revealing in a case everything you have. This is the time when you can do it, because the people you're giving this information to are making the biggest decision of their lives. And that is, does the $4 million, is it going to give us what we want? And what is that based on? You're also going to go through statistics with them. You're going to go through like cases. Hopefully they discuss Wrench by Proxy and how oftentimes in Wrench by Proxy, even when they don't show life, they pay up. If you pay up, the person gets released. If that were the case, again, there's the other avenue that I think this could be is just hearing about this and having other moats react that are related in some way to people. Let me go on. Let me see. You know, this is, I like what Yacht Club says. Look, Yacht Club says, listen, there's no proof of life or death either way. And I actually posted what Elizabeth Smart said, because she was 14, abducted, gone for such a horrible amount of time, a very long amount of time, similar to this case. And she lived, she was 14. Nobody believed she could survive such an abduction, but she did. I know it's different because she didn't have the health issues, but she had the youth issues. Just such a strong woman. But she even says, don't give up. So Yacht Club, I hold out the teeniest bit, but everything I know from experience and from my knowledge says she's no longer with us. So the notes can't be traced, probably likely for a lot of reasons. First of all, they came in kind of, it's like if you want to tell a news station, hey, check out this story, or hey, I have this information, and you send it, it goes into this portal. And so it's not exactly an email, but still, they said, if we're to believe Howard Bloom, his source says they actually have IP addresses, but IP addresses can be tricky. They can be Proton addresses, basically from other countries that are not traceable because there's no subpoena power. There's no authority in another country for the FBI to get anything. Now they'll try, and some jurisdictions are very, very cooperative. But for instance, Switzerland, they're not cooperative because they want people to keep coming there with whatever it is, their money or whatever it is, knowing that they're going to keep your privacy intact. So that's one issue. The other thing is, of course, VPNs. So there's many issues that can be involved. And I think they might at some point get to the bottom of it, but it is taking forever. Tony and I was on with Tony about that, that he thinks it's the next door neighbor, Jim Dealer. He asked me that. And I said, Tony. I think that's exactly was my response. No, this was Nancy. They wanted Nancy, Savannah Nancy. But I love Tony, and Tony and I, again, we can cut these things up and talk about them, and we respect each other immensely. He's been in the true crime world for a very long time. I'm on his show every Friday at noon. Think so much of him. But he's just trying to throw different possibilities out for people to consider, and I get that. He asked me my opinion, and my opinion was no. We say we all knew. We came to know that because Savannah and Sheriff Nano said she has to have her medication to survive, but that doesn't mean that these mopes that decided to do this, they got pointed in the right direction, but obviously they did not know her medical situation to the degree it was. And again, on the Today Show, you could tell some things, but she also looked great and vibrant. So sometimes it's hard to tell how physically ailed somebody is from a snapshot on a television show. All right, everyone. I'm going to let you all go. I've kept you an hour. I'm really trying to make sure I make these shows very short, concise, to the point. Everyone, I appreciate you fact finders here. Watch out for source information. There are landmines. Look for the source of the information. And by the way, I did a whole show on that where I went through the known at that time source information and where it came from. Not source, but information and where it came from, and traced it back to the original source. You got to watch that episode. It was so fun to put together. It did take me hours to go back and find the origination of something. I'll give you an example of something we covered in there. There was, information that was floating around that she had an episode on her pacemaker before she was ever taken. Well, guess what? That was all malarkey. It came from a CNN interview a cardiologist, and he got on there and he said it's likely when he would have seen her that she would have had a cardiac event. And from there it was spun to she had a cardiac event. You see the problem? I know we all know the problem. You just got to be very careful. Where does it all originate from? We know where this originated from. Everyone, till next time, I will definitely be having another show on that show, which will be tomorrow. I just got to figure out the timing. Let's see, tomorrow is Friday. I've got Joe Pags, who I love. He's so funny. Joe Pags at 3:30, I believe, Eastern. Tony Bruschi at 12 Eastern. Again, traveling. But I will be doing another show, maybe early morning or very late at night, because I want to talk about the money that was going to be put up. All right, everybody, by TMZ, and why that wasn't done. All right, everyone, until next time, y'all are the best. Thank you to the best mods in the business. They just are, and the best chat anywhere. I just love how y'all talk. All right, everyone, till next time, may justice be served for the Guthrie family and for all the missing.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.